And we're joined now by the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan. Jim, OTAs underway now for a second week, and trying to glean some things from what goes on out there. There's more installation of offense, and you sense in general that the defense in particular is a little further ahead, which I think kind of is what you expect. I mean, the defense is going to be always ahead of the offense, I think, on a regular basis. We see this early in training camp and other places as they pick things up. But the good news to this is, I think, for the offense's sake, facing this defense on a daily basis, this 3-4 scheme and all the complexities that go with what Ray Horton has out there as defensive coordinator, is a good thing. It's a good learning process.
Yeah, I think so. I enjoyed listening to Ray Horton last week when the media came in on that day about a week ago now, and we got a chance to watch them and then talk to him afterwards. And when people were really trying to pin him down about where guys were playing, you know, is this guy going to be a nickel defensive back? Is Mingo going to be on the left side or the right side? Can Sheard play outside linebacker? And basically his comment and his answer was everything that he said on the day that we met him after he had been hired. Hey, listen, I'm going to line people up in a lot of different spots. And I really think that he's holding true to that. I mean, I really think you're going to see guys line up in very unique positions and very unique spots on the field that you would say, wait a minute, where is TJ Ward right now? I mean, what is he doing? Or what are they doing with Buster Screen or something like that? Or Billy Wynn? And I think it's going to be, you know, I think that defense is going to be a lot of fun to watch. And I think, Vic, it will be very fun to play on. I think these players will enjoy it because it will be challenging, and I don't think it will be boring at all to them.
And I think one of the questions that has to be answered, a couple of questions have to be answered, you know, can Leon McFadden be the starter at that corner spot opposite Joe Haden? Leon getting his first taste of practices this week now that he's able to do so, finishing up schoolwork at San Diego State. So, and you'll get a look at him, I know, tomorrow during the media open session at OTA practice. But what we see so far, and Joe Haden talked about this on yesterday's show, is a smart guy, an instinctive guy, a guy who asks the right questions. And you see him on the sideline, you know, picking the brains of those more experienced guys. I don't know if they're smarter, but they're certainly more experienced guys. And I think he's smart and intelligent for doing that.
Yeah. He's got a great opportunity, and I think he was very excited when he was drafted here because he probably knew the landscape of what the Cleveland situation was. And with Sheldon Brown gone and nobody really being the heir apparent on that other side, there's a great opportunity to step right in and be on the other side of a rising young star in the NFL at cornerback in Joe Haden. When you can do that, if you can put those two corners out there and they can play and they can be young guys like that, because there was a great age difference, let's face it, between Sheldon Brown and Joe Haden. And Vic, I think you'd agree, they played the position differently. Sheldon Brown, he really counted on body position and knowledge. Joe Haden had instinct, he had flash, he has aggressiveness, and he's got speed.
I was going to say, plus the athleticism to close the closing speed to make up for any errors that could be made.
So I definitely think, and I go back a couple of years ago when Green Bay had great corners at one time, and they came into Browns Stadium and played the Browns, and the Browns simply could not throw the ball that day. I mean, what an advantage it is to be able to lock down people on the outside. It allows you to do so many other things, and it translates into what you want. Less time for that quarterback, and he's got no vision, and he's got no openness to throw to, and he goes down on the ground or he makes a bad throw. So I think McFadden's got a great opportunity to be a part of a really great secondary and cornerback tandem.
And the other question, the other big defensive question, also involves the secondary, and that's the safety spot opposite TJ Ward. And interestingly, Tashaun Gibson, who's getting the first crack, I mean, he's there as the starter. He, to me, looks like the guy we saw last year, plus with more knowledge. What we saw last year, the rookie free agent who came in and made his presence known with his instincts, with his just his savvy. I mean, unusual savvy for a guy that young, right? And you always saw him around the ball in all situations. Well, now, as a starter, I mean, he's kind of doing the same thing, but he's anticipating routes better. You can see that in practice. And he just seems to get it. So I think this team comfortably could go there. But, again, the move that they made earlier this week by waiving Eric Hag, that made a statement, part of it being that Jamoris Slaughter, the sixth-round draft pick from Notre Dame, recovering from that Achilles, and signing Jamoris Slaughter, getting him under contract, that they expect him back in the fold soon, probably by training camp, which is when Slaughter said he would be back, and trusting that Gibson can be the answer in the meantime.
Well, I think your radar is in sync with mine, because I really took that series of moves. And I felt bad for Eric Hag. At this time of the year, last year, Eric Hag was going to be presented with the very, very strong possibility and reality that he was going to be a starting safety in the Browns defense. And he was, but he could not hold the position. I mean, right. He had a really rough game in Cincinnati in game two. I mean, Brandon Tate just really took him out to lunch early and then right after halftime in that game, could not hold on to the position. Gibson, on the other hand, when he got in there late in the year last year, he could hold on to the position and played very, very well. Never, never out of position. Never, being passive in the position, playing safe. I thought he played just right. So, I mean, I took that then, that, you know, as the cards fell, that he was going to probably be penciled in as a starter. But I was very encouraged that Slaughter got his deal done, and that it seems as though maybe that forecast that he could be ready by the start of training camp is right on the button there.
Yeah, and I think there's definitely high confidence mm-hmm. that he'll step in and be a factor. I mean, I think, like McFadden, it sounds like the same kind of guy, smart, instinctive, that you can see a guy like that hitting the ground running because of what he's able to absorb.
And, you know, at Notre Dame, when he did play before the injury, he was a very physical player at Notre Dame. Up near the line of scrimmage a lot. I mean, he came up and really played the run, played very, very physical. He wasn't these guys that just played center field. I mean, he was up on the line. He was in on things. Very classic run stopper, I think, for Notre Dame at times when they needed him. So it was a big hit for him personally and for them defensively when they lost him.
Jim Donovan, voice of the Browns, joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, Jim, we talk about this defense and how, I think, in many ways, how challenging it is for the offense on a day-to-day basis. And, again, I think this is a good thing, but at the same, ultimately, for the offense to be exposed to this. But I think, too, it's the question then becomes, you know, can you handle this kind of psychologically? I think this could make for a rough go for a Brandon Whedon trying to establish himself and hold on to that starting job. Mm-hmm. And even Jason Campbell, as a veteran, he's challenged by what's out there. Now they bring in Brian Hoyer. So you got a couple of things going on here. You've got the quarterback situation becoming more interesting because of the addition of Hoyer to the mix. Four quarterbacks out there, also including Thaddeus Lewis. And you have, on a regular basis, an offense that faces a big chore each day against that defense.
Yeah, well, good for them, and they should accept that challenge. But you're so right, because lest any of us think that the quarterback situation has been put to bed and we are ready to roll, and we have our quarterback, I just don't think that we're totally there yet. Now, I'm not saying that Whedon is not going to be the guy, but I still think he's got some proving to do to his coaches, to himself, and then to all of us, I think, when we watch him play. And I don't know that we're there yet. So it continues to be a work in progress with others still in the fray. And I think the Browns are taking a look at every possibility that could be out there, you know, that if it's not Whedon, and what it would be. But I do believe that Brandon, it's still out there for him, and now he's just got to go and really got to take hold of the position, Vic. I mean, you got to take hold of it.
No, and you've got to see him on a consistent basis show that he owns this thing and that he's, not just confident, because he certainly sounds that way. He's saying the right things.
Yes.
I like his attitude when you talk with him. But on the field, that's also got to show. And there has to be not just the swagger in how he moves, but, again, make completions, make plays, make good decisions. And all of this is happening against the backdrop of learning, because you have a new offense for this guy. He's learning the ways of how this Rob Chudzinski, North Turner scheme is supposed to be run. They're still in the midst of installing the offense.
Sure.
So he wouldn't have it all down, nor would the other quarterbacks.
Yeah, and, the calendar says that we're getting close to when it's really time. I mean, the Browns will come up here and they'll continue with OTAs. They'll have a mini camp. They'll have a break. And then we are there, my friend. I mean, it is time to do it. And then the evaluation is in front of the Browns fans who come to training camp every day. And that will bring on its own pressure, too.
Sure.
And then we're into the preseason games, which obviously still, with the Cleveland Browns at the quarterback position, will tell us an awful lot as to who will be there on opening day against Miami.
So besides that, when you come out to practice tomorrow, besides that, What are some of the things you're looking for?
Well, I was fascinated to watch the receivers, and on your tip when we talked last week before we got a chance to see them, I wanted to watch Devon Bess, and you were right. I mean, Devon Bess looks terrific in there, and I really think Greg Little has come along very, very nicely too.
Yep.
And you know, looks the part of growing into things, and now into year number three, which will be another big year for Greg, and a big year hopefully for the Browns with Greg. I'm very impressed with the way he looks. You know, Josh Gordon just looks like a very, very sculpted, you know, big-time NFL receiver. So I'm very encouraged. And I think right now it's hard to be encouraged about the running game because they're not playing that way. I mean, they're right. Not in pads and they're not hitting and so and they're really not tackling. But, I mean, so you really get a good look at the passing game. But I'm encouraged by the Browns receivers right now. But really I think Bess has been a great, great pickup for them.
Yeah, and it's interesting too. The other thing I want to pay attention to is the offensive backfield. Again, not that you can judge a whole lot about a running game when there is no contact, but Brandon Jackson being brought back into the fold.
Right.
And how interesting I think it is to me that this team really believes the fullback, by definition, is more of a hybrid between running back and fullback and not the full-fledged fullback. I mean, you've got Owen Marisic on the roster, but
right.
And I don't know what his future holds, but when you look at a guy like Jackson, who is similar to a guy like Chris Obanaya, they're kind of the same guy, right? They pick up the blitz well.
Yes.
They catch the ball well.
Yes, they do. You know, think about it, Vic. A couple of years ago, Brandon Jackson, they were very excited to have him here when Pat Shurmur came here, and he ended up with that toe injury and lost that first year, and then we were even more excited to see him last year, and then he just kind of faded out of it even once he was ready to go and got lost in the shuffle. Obanaya, I think, has been a money player for them. I mean, just a guy that picks up – you know, he's a guy that punches in every morning, punches the clock, and punches out at the end of the workday, but he gives you a good workday.
He does.
Yeah, whether it's a practice or whether it's a, you know, a conditioning situation or certainly a game day. So, you know, I like Obanaya. I think he's been very steady. When you stand in there, that's a tough job to stand in there and take the many blitzes that are coming your way to keep that quarterback upright. I think that's a real, you know, a tough job, and he does it well.
Well, I know last week with Doug Deacon, the three of us watched practice, and I was getting fried by the sun.
Yes, you did.
I don't know, and still am. I don't know if you've checked with Betsy Kling on this yet, but what we have to prepare for tomorrow, if I got to bring the sunblock or something, but I'm looking forward to it anyway.
Yeah, I am too. I'll tell you what, that was training camp hot last week, wasn't it? I'll tell you.
It's been pretty warm this one too. All right, Jim, thank you, and we'll look forward to talking with you again next week.
Absolutely, Vic.
Jim Donovan, voice of the Browns, joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.